Hello, everyone. Welcome to NBA Unwrapped, where we unwrap the hottest takes from around the NBA. This episode is brought to you by Professor's Picks. With the legalization of sports betting nationwide, there's no better time than now to capitalize on your sports knowledge. Professor's Picks has been helping sports bettors win more consistently for over 7 years. With a variety of membership packages available online, you can find the perfect one for you. Go to professorspicks.com and enter the NBA Unwrapped promo code WIN2018, that's all capital letters WIN2018, for 15% off any membership package. Professor's Picks, the sports betting kings. I'm Corbin Reinerman, joined by Perry Aston, Christian McGowan, and a good friend of ours, Seif Kafagi, making his podcast debut. So thank you guys all for joining me on this one. There's not too much that's been happening in the NBA, right?
Just a crazy week.
Just the craziest start to the offseason that seems like it's ever happened, but I mean, last year was crazy too. But before we get into that, I want to remind you guys to listen to us either on SoundCloud or via the Apple Podcast app. If you are listening to us on the Apple Podcast app, if you could give us a 5-star review, we'd really appreciate it. It really helps us out. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at NBA Unwrapped. And while you are following us, make sure to turn our notifications on. We report any breaking news. Instead of having to follow different NBA Twitters like Adrian Wojnarowski and other ESPN and other NBA personalities, just follow ours because we report on everything, so you can cut down on the amount of profiles you're following.
We'll make your ratio look nice.
And our Twitter, yes. Twitter's been on fire lately. Anything that's been coming out, complete in-depth coverage of every single topic, so please keep your notifications on if you're interested in that. If you're working and you're a busy person, just constantly check it whenever you can. I promise you, whenever you get a chance to catch up on your NBA day, if you just look at our page, you'll catch up on absolutely everything that went down.
Yeah, so. And on top of reporting breaking news stories, we also tweet out a lot of different Twitter polls. We like to interact with you guys, and we love when you guys interact with us. So please go ahead and keep interacting with us. We've had a lot of polls out lately, which we're going to get to throughout this podcast. On top of that, also remember that you can follow me on Twitter, at CorbinMRPK. Follow Perry on Twitter, at Perry Aston, Christian on Twitter, at McGowan75, and Seif, our newest member, on Twitter, at Seif Kafagi. So with that, let's get into starting to try to dissect everything that's been going on lately.
We're
going
to start light, and we'll move on to, obviously, the crazy Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, Paul George, crazy stuff in a little bit. So let's start with the NBA sending a memo to teams that the one-and-done rule may end as soon as 2021. And Corbin, I know you have, you know, very heavy thoughts on this one. I like how the rules are actually set right now, so I don't really like a rule change. I actually like how they have to go to college and have to at least spend that 1 year, but that's just my opinion. Corbin, I briefly want to hear yours. I know you're strongly opinionated.
Yeah, I am so happy to hear this. Like in NBA 2K, they have those rule changes that go on each year, and I am always waiting for one of the rule changes to be 18-year-olds can go into the draft, and I automatically, even if it's rejected, I turn it to approved. I just think it's foolish to force someone who has graduated high school and can go into or attempt to go into pretty much any profession they want, but for some reason they can't play professional sports if they're good enough to play. If teams, the scouting in the NBA has never been better than it has now, and it's going to keep improving. If a scouting department sees a high school basketball player that thinks that the following year they can help that basketball team and are worthy of one of the 60 picks in the NBA draft, why should they not be able to draft that player? And why should that player have to forfeit money and go to college to where, yeah, maybe he will learn more about the game and be able to improve his game, but I don't think it's right to deny people in there.
I like where our head was at with finding alternative ways besides college for these kids coming out of high school. That was a better conversation for me. I love the JBA with Big Baller Brand. I know it's not very big right now, but I love that opportunity and obviously going overseas and the fact that the G League and having that one player that's going straight to the G League and trying to be a trailblazer with that path. Having these options being explored now, that's what I like to see. Because, no, I like how the NBA is set up and where it's just 1 year. And it's coming out of high school. It's one, and I understand LeBron James, Garnett, Kobe. These guys came out of high school and it obviously worked out for the better. But If they had one more year, we would have just waited one more year. It's literally no big deal. It's just how it is now.
But it is their career. Yeah, and also, I mean, on top of money, it's injuries
too.
It's their career,
but they're saying this is our league, and there's so many other options to go. You don't have to go to college now, and I think that they're now willing to amp up their G League. To offer you to come in there. Now the salary has gone up for G League players. It's still very low. But you're talking about kids coming out of high school who would rather just go to college and eat Top Ramen or get whatever their parents allow them to get, or like a meal plan or whatever that may be. You're not making money at it. You're making a decent salary, $35,000 a year, something like that. And that's just for 1 year while you're getting scouted and while you're getting bred in, let's say you're on the Lakers organization, you're on the South Bay Lakers. You don't think the Lakers are watching you? You don't think you're in the best place possible to position yourself for the next year without having to go forfeit a year and go to college and go the traditional route? And if not, go to Australia or do this JBA league or whatever they're coming out with now. I think there's so many options. And the fact that the NBA does realize that college is an issue right now and they are willing to beef up this G League. And now that the one player has dedicated to themselves, I think that this is going to become something that's more common in the next few years. But
the problem... Sorry, Christian. Just
there you go.
The problem still persists for me. One of the things that I'm most concerned about with why I don't think that players should have to spend an additional year outside of the NBA, on top of if a team thinks they're good enough to be drafted, they should be able to be drafted, the injury concern. And if they go to the G League for a year, yes, they're making $30,000-$35,000. But if they get injured, there's no contract after that. Whereas in the NBA, if they get drafted because they were good enough, if they're a first-round pick... That's a four-year contract. It's 2 years guaranteed and then 2 years.
You can get injured walking across the street and you're playing basketball as a 17-year-old kid. At that point, you're going to have to play basketball somewhere when you're 18. I understand you're going straight to the NBA and obviously you can get drafted right there. But still, at this point, they're offering you other options. I get what you guys are saying.
But it still undercuts. If you're 17 years old and you're playing basketball that is worth $2 million plus per year, why should it matter whatever league is? You were worth $2 million. You should be allowed to go to the NBA and get what you're worth. It's just devices. The owners have billions and billions of dollars. What's $1 million less to them, to a kid, to what he's worth? Athletes all the time are underpaid for the amount of worth that they put into an organization. So in no way... Is a G League is a cop out. It's another way for these teams to get premier talent at a not premier price.
But when LeBron James and Kobe and all them came out, this was a different time. At this point, the scouting departments are happy. Yeah. They're happy at the fact that, because at this point, you're projecting these kids. Oh, Jason Tatum's not even 19 yet. All this different stuff. You're projecting these kids now and being like, this is so hard to project him now. Imagine him in 2 years. Yeah. Imagine a year less of development. These kids aren't even strong enough to have an arm wrestle fight with one of like a decently sized man. Like, it's one of those things where it's so hard to judge a player coming out of high school, because even though they may be highly recruited or whatever that may be, like, they may not even be the same player that next year. Just like 2 years of development, 1 year development, so much growth, so much development. And to have NBA teams have that chance to at least see if you're good enough coming out of high school. Yeah, maybe you killed all of your high school game, but to have to see you transition into another league, whatever that league may be, and have to see you compete not with kids in high school and maybe old freshmen that are making the varsity team because they're super good. It's not like that. At that point, you're having to go face G League talent or going to have to play in a semi-pro league.
Do you think
league,
they develop faster playing against G League players? If you're going to play against the NBA, you'll
get saying
better.
This is, I'm not saying this isn't for the players. This is for the teams at this point. Wanting to have that extra year. I'm not protecting.
Teams have hundreds of millions.
It's being able to project. It's being able to project these players better. Actually having that extra year of growth, becoming a man when you're becoming 18 years old.
But you're not. You're protecting the teams. There's
a big difference in scouting. I'm just giving both sides at this point. I'm saying at that point, I think scouting departments actually value their opportunity to have that extra year and see them grow changing programs wherever that league may be.
So really quickly, while we're on the scouting departments, I think that's where this whole argument stems from on the NBA side for why teams didn't want or are in favor of forcing players to at least have one extra year.
And that's why I think it's the same.
My argument against that is if you allow players to come into the NBA straight out of high school, yes, it's harder to project, but then the scouting departments that are really good, that's better for them. So if you have a problem get better at your job. Get a better scouting department.
I guess.
The best scouting departments are going to be the ones that are going to come out on top on this. What do you think, Steve?
I actually think this is bad for NBA as a business. I think the fact that the high school basketball is not on a circuit that you can't watch, the fact that you get to see players in March Madness watching college basketball as a business that naturally transitions into billions of dollars
right.
in the bottom line for the NBA.
Well, the NCAA is a nonprofit organization.
True, and I'm with you there. And I fully agree that players should have the choice to get paid. They should have the choice to go to the NBA when and if they want to. But as a business, the fact that they can do that is horrendous for the NBA. And I think in the long term, more people will pan out as failures than successes.
Oh, absolutely. We've seen it before. We've seen plenty of high school players that are drafted in the first round that end up not panning out the way that teams thought that they would be. And
so there was so many more
bucks.
It's a risk.
I agree. It's
a risk that you have to take either way. And that's part of teams don't want to have to end up. It's not so much the $1 million or $2 million that they'd have to pay a player, because you're right. They got tons of money. $2 million to them, it's not that much. It's the draft capital.
You're just another player. You're just a year behind.
Yes, but it's the draft capital. It's the picking 10th overall and taking some high school player that you're not too sure about versus a college player that maybe doesn't have the same ceiling, but you know what you're getting. Or at least a better idea.
Look at Zaire Smith right now, who turned 19 last week, and he's just an athletic freak, and he's probably going to get taken around – 14, he's going to be probably sneak right into the lottery. But guys like that, to where you're like, this guy's so young, Jason Tatum last year, so young, so still, so raw, and was able to transition their high school game because they were so highly coveted out of high school, going to college or whatever, Terrence Ferguson in Australia, whatever that may be. They went there, transitioned their game, were able to compete at a high level. We were able to see their body grow. We were able to see the coaching, how much it attributed to their game, all of that. And then at that point, they're still talking about how they might take a player that might be more NBA ready right now than a guy like that. And then you're going to move that back an entire year before, where a guy's been dominating against trash high school opponents and probably won the state title, won what could come, whatever he could win at high school. But at that point, you can't judge anything else besides that. You don't have two sets of tape to look at. You don't have that extra year of growth. You're taking a chance on a kid with what Corbin just said, with a lottery pick. You're going to, God forbid, take a chance on a kid that may or may not bust, because you're talking, it's a lot of money right there. And then imagine you passed up on a guy like Giannis, who got taken very late, or Donovan Mitchell. You pass up on a guy like that because you went with a high school kid, and the high school kid never pans out.
That's part of sports.
But these teams are going to have to agree to this.
It's balancing how much risk you're willing to take, because
they're trying to promote it.
Yeah, because they're trying to get talent at $30,000 that's worth $2 million. Of course it's bad for business.
I get what you mean. It's you're putting kids in a league to where at this point there's a rule set to where they don't belong. They don't belong.
Yes, but this is also
hurts their bank account. They're going to be set for life.
No, they're not, because they could get injured the next year in the G League, and then they got $30K. So they can be a fucking busboy at a restaurant.
There's a risk that comes with every draft pick, and there's a risk that comes whether you're taking a college player with 1 year of experience, a college player with 4 years of experience, a high school kid. Maybe the risk is a little bit different, but that's part of sports. You need to weigh how much risk you're going to take. In any decision that you're making, there's some risk that comes along with it. LeBron James is a free agent. Whoever signs him, there's a risk that he could get injured the next day and never play again.
I think you're making the point that if a scouting department can't keep up with the fact that they have like high school kids in there, they should get better and stuff. This isn't about the scouting department at this point. It's about a rule allowing having to be a certain age, or at least having to go through a certain amount of years before you're allowed to enter this league. And the thing is, it's not the players in high school that are like, oh, we want to get paid. We want to be like that. They're not the ones voting. These are going to be teams that want to take this on. They're going to have to want to change an entire rule. This is going to have to take.
Well, it's collectively.
They're going to have to convince them that the bust rate and how it's going to go up so much more.
That's why there's the NBA PA.
Is worth it.
Also, the NBA PA. The NBA PA is going to be more arguing on the side of players who are already in the leagues. So they're not really looking out for the high school kids as much. But
no, the thing is, you keep talking about the high school kids. I know that you can relate going and playing college sports, Christian. Yeah, I know you could, and I know how screwed up it is right now with the debate on college players getting paid in general. It's so heated right now. At this point,
I was an NFL starting left tackle out of high school, then yeah, I shouldn't have gone to college.
But that's your opinion, though. At this point, you're looking at teams, personnel on these professional rosters that are looking at it like they don't care if the high school kid wants to get paid at 17 or if he's going to go get paid
at
18
or turning 19. And I understand what you're saying. It's just a rule that protects owners, protects teams,
protects
and it disadvantages
players. It's the league's rule, not the high school player's rule.
Let's move on. Just if this rule does come to pass as soon as 2021, that 2021 draft is going to be incredibly loaded because you're going to have the players who from the year previously had to go to college on top of the ones coming straight out of high school are good enough for the NBA. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But on to our next subject. Dwayne Casey signed a 5-year deal to coach the Detroit Pistons. We had a Twitter poll for you guys asking, with the hire of Dwayne Casey, what seed do you predict Detroit finishes next season? This is obviously before free agency
and the draft.
So 43% of you guys said between 6 to 8 seed, 37% 3 to 5, 13% said outside of the playoffs, and 7% said a 1 or 2 seed. You guys agree with that, 6 to 8 seed?
Yeah, I was happy with these results. I liked seeing the fact that there was a few, that select few that still picked 1 to 2 seed because the Raptors are the defending 1 seed and that aren't contributing their success to Dwayne Casey. And I like seeing that select few that take them below an 8 seed to not even make the playoffs and attributing so much success to a guy like Dwayne Casey, but having the majority obviously being in the middle and having it be 37 to 43% was a lot closer than I expected too. So you guys picked 6 to 8 seed. To be honest, I'm going 3 to 5 seed for Detroit. I think they're going to, right, it's going to be the 5 seed. I think they're going to be right there and they'll flirt with the 4. It's going to be a very Pelicans-esque
It's going to be a very, and this
poll was stated before free agency. And before
well, they don't
draft.
Have much cap room, anyways. I think I'd go maybe 6 seed, but again,
it's
before free agency, we don't know how everything is going to play out. If LeBron leaves the Cavs, that's one more team that will not be ahead of them.
LeBron to Detroit.
But yeah, I mean, they have talent on the roster. They got Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond. I think with a full offseason to learn how to play together, they're going to make the playoffs.
I'm very excited about that duo. Yeah. Dwayne Casey's a great coach.
And they still have Reggie Jackson, too.
And, you know, Luke Kennard. And
yeah, Luke Kennard.
A lot of different players out there. And they, I know they don't
Stanley
have a lot
Johnson,
of
kind of forget
and
about
And I know they only
bit.
Have a second-round draft pick. They don't have a first-round right now. But they have the ability with such a deep draft with throughout a lot of positions right now, but they definitely need some guard help. And even though they got Kennard last year, I'd love to see another one or a small forward. But of course, the big men are kind of settled at this point. They can really hit it big in the second round if they draft correctly. They've just really had the worst draft woes probably out of any NBA team, missing out on Donovan Mitchell and so many other players lately by one or two picks and passing up on them. So really, we'll move on to the guy who's taken Dwayne Casey's place in Toronto, Nick Nurse. I know a lot of people haven't heard that name, but they signed him to a 3-year deal to about $10 million to become the head coach of the Toronto Raptors. We took another poll similar to the Dwayne Casey poll. It said, with the hire of Nick Nurse as head coach, where do the Raptors finish in the East next season before draft and free agency? The one seed, 6%, 2 through 4, 49%. 5 through 6, 33%, and 7 and 8, 12%. So the winner was 2 through 4 seed for the Raptors next year. They were the defending one. What do you guys think? I'm going to start with Seif. What are your thoughts on the Raptors and how much getting a new coach compared to Dwayne Casey will mean to this team coming off a 1 seed?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is actually right in line where I would put them, somewhere
two to four.
2 to 4. Yeah. You know, I think there's going to be I'm looking at it with the potential of the free agency changeup, and I think regardless of how it plays out, I see them in that 2 to 4 mix.
They're not really in risk of losing anyone.
You know,
right,
they still have a lot of their great players. I mean, the East is weak in many cases. I can't see them falling below 4, and if they do, I think that speaks more to why you shouldn't have fired Dwayne Casey in the first place.
I totally agree, and that's why the last poll was really interesting to me, to see people actually placing them not in the playoffs after getting a 1 seed after just losing a coach so far. It really surprised me. But
I feel like this is the year that they implode in the regular season.
I think they're still – they're a good regular season.
They're a good team.
They're a good team. I don't
as long
think,
as they don't face LeBron James in the playoffs, they're really good.
That's why I think the 1 seed is the Celtics next year, assuming they stay even relatively healthy. They are the 1 seed. The Raptors, I think, right in the 2 to 4 seed.
Yeah.
You got the Sixers going to challenge for maybe even a 1 seed.
I think the Raptors will finish out at like the 4 seed.
Yeah, I mean, the Cavs, it all just depends on if LeBron is there. Because if not, they are not sniffing the playoffs. So we'll see. But let's move on to our next topic. So Michael Porter Jr., we're going to have a separate draft podcast for you guys before the draft starts. But in this podcast, we want to focus on free agency and different rumors surrounding that. But we did want to bring up Michael Porter Jr.'s draft stock. There's been different rumors that have been rumbling that he's been shooting up draft boards, might be drafted higher than we originally thought. There was also a kind of weird occurrence where he had to cancel his, I believe it was his second pro day because of a hip injury that he had. I actually think that that was a calculated decision him and his agent to try to force him into a certain place. There's been some reports that there are some teams up at the top of the draft that he doesn't want to play for, and he'd rather slide back a little bit and play for the Bulls have been mentioned. So he's trying to strong arm his way into a position where he slides down a little bit. So we'll see what happens. I think that was calculated, but you guys think he gets drafted higher than the Bulls?
I've been covering this draft pretty heavily right now, and it's actually on Thursday. So tune in, guys, and follow us on Twitter and keep our notifications on definitely this week. If you're trying to follow the draft, we're going to be all over it, but obviously, number one set with DeAndre Ayton, and number two, three, four, and five. No one really knows what's really to expect right now. People, if you look at mock drafts around the entire internet, it's going to be completely different. Michael Porter Jr. has not been in the top five on any mock drafts up until this week. And just like Corbett said, around seven to the Bulls, I've seen him there. He's even went to the Cavaliers, even seen him sometimes slip towards 10. So, you know, it really depends on who you're looking at. But as of now, if you look at any mock draft around, he's going to be pretty much right there in that top five, maybe six. And a lot of teams are trying to trade up with a team like the Kings, who possibly might be looking to move back, or the Grizzlies, who might be willing to move back a few spots as well. And just like we were going to bring up, the Grizzlies being willing to trade the number four pick and attaching Chandler Parsons' contract, which is maybe the
ugliest contract in
the
NBA.
It's absurd. But at this point, Michael Porter Jr. has snuck his way in. And my most recent mock draft I put on Twitter, it was about a day ago, maybe two. He's number five to the Mavericks for me. I know they have, obviously, a need for center. But at that point, Michael Porter Jr. at number five is a steal. And, of course, getting Dennis Smith Jr. last year, you're really adding a lot of balance around that offense. So, for me, he goes to number five, makes it all the way up. But he's having this very weird process going on right now where you know, teams aren't able to work him out, but a lot of teams obviously want to get their doctors, you know, medical personnel with their hands on him to see him for himself, make sure his back's okay, make sure that everything that they're exploring out isn't just, you know, propaganda for him, positive propaganda, that it's actually positive. They want to get medical results. So it's pretty much, imagine this, imagine an empty court, no one around it, no one playing basketball, and just a medical table in a half court, and he's just laying on it. And different teams get their opportunity to walk up to a midcourt and kind of just like pick and pry at him.
It's like 20 minutes per team.
It's kind of
only the teams that he allows, though.
It's very weird. It's like a hamster in an experiment or something. Like you're walking up and like you're just picking and prying it. It's very weird. You're having like
it's just another
guys
way.
Coming over in lab coats and then like they're running back. It's like, all right, Mavericks, you're up. And they're running over and they're like, all right, Bulls, you're up. It's
just another way for him to try to force his way to
super weird, but definitely helping his draft stock. Yeah. He's keeping this bit of mystique to where people don't know a little, but know enough and are so intrigued that they're going to take this chance because they're not going to miss out on Michael Porter Jr. and have him slip out of this top 10 and have someone else reap the benefits of him. So
let's talk very briefly about another prospect, Marvin Bagley, his shoe deal with Puma, which NBA listeners, if you care about NBA shoes, you know that Puma is not someone who makes NBA shoes.
I know Puma's trying to get into
the market in a big way. And it's supposed to be the highest rookie shoe deal since Kevin Durant. Yep. So the Puma, part of them is just their desperation to try to get into the NBA shoe market.
I know they've had their eyes on Trae Young as well, so I wouldn't be surprised if they match the two of them as the new faces of Puma, and then they'll probably nab a veteran or two along the way with a decent profile. But don't be surprised if Puma starts coming out with something. Seeing the growth in Adidas and seeing Nike going up and down and Under Armour and so many other different companies that keep going in, I wouldn't be surprised to see Puma all of a sudden strike a pretty big deal.
So I have a question. Who sells more shoes next year, the Marvin Bagley Pumas or the Zoe 4s? Big baller.
We'll ask, see if you answer this one first.
You know, I honestly think it's going to depend on where Bagley gets drafted. If he goes somewhere like...
Let's say he goes to the Kings, number two.
If he goes to Sacramento or Atlanta, like...
On where Lonzo is playing next.
Let's assume he goes number two, Marvin Bagley to the Kings, and Lonzo stays here.
And I think Lonzo sells more shoes. Lonzo. Yeah.
No, I know shoes are crap. I think Puma just makes a shoe that's comfortable. So.
You got the added factor of the Zoes being like $500, whereas
and
the
they're
Bagley's
not that good
really,
of a shoe.
I take the Marvin Bagley Pumas. I'm sure they're going to come out with a sick shoe for their first one. It's not going to be this weird, like Japanese-inspired shoe. Everyone's like, that's cool. Like, it's going to be something where people are actually trying to buy it.
Yeah, all right, let's move on to the next topic. So there's been reports that Jimmy Butler has had some issues with Andrew Wiggins' work ethic and his defense. I think rightly so, at least, about his defense.
Definitely.
It's pretty easy to see his defense is atrocious. 2 years ago, I don't know where he finished this last season, but 2 seasons ago, he finished dead last in terms of defensive ratings for advanced analytics for small forwards. He was, I believe it was 95th out of 95 players, and aggregate of all players who qualified, I believe he was like 499th of like 516 players. So he was pretty bad. And that was the one thing with Andrew Wiggins coming into the draft when he was coming out of Kansas. You thought, okay, for sure you're getting someone who is going to be incredible on defense and an all-NBA defensive type player. And that's been the exact opposite.
If not that, maybe not all-NBA player.
I mean, someone that's not a liability. Yeah.
No, someone that's not a liability on defense at the very least. He's not playing with any effort on that side of the ball. Right. And even though he can, you know, put up a decent amount of points and he can take over a game at times, he still doesn't have the eye of the tiger that we've all expected from Andrew Wiggins to where at times, even though you have Karl Anthony Towns and Jimmy Buckets on your team, he's the most exciting player to watch on the court. And oh my God, look at Andrew Wiggins. I don't remember a time that that's happened. No, it's not going to.
You talk about the eye of the tiger. We've seen that from him before. When he was at Kansas, when Joel Embiid got injured, I think the next game he dropped was like 43 or 46 points. So he has that within him, but for whatever reason, maybe it's a combination of his work ethic and
the relationship with the coaching staff. It could be as
We've seen other issues. Karl Anthony Towns has issues.
Jimmy Butler's not going anywhere. The Timberwolves have finally sniffed the playoffs for the first time in who knows how long. And at this point, they finally have a core. Karl Anthony Towns isn't going anywhere. And
he wants to leave.
There's some reported turmoil between him and Thibodeau.
He's not going anywhere, and I don't think Jimmy Butler's going anywhere. But at this point, you're not going to catch me in any sentence, you know, saying Andrew Wiggins isn't going to go anywhere. If they lose Andrew Wiggins and they can get a somewhat decent haul at the very least or figure something out.
Even just unload that contract. That's a tough contract.
You're fine.
He basically, before they signed the max contract, the owner met with him and said how he's been disappointed in his work ethic and his defense and what Jimmy Butler's upset about right now, and this was last offseason, and basically he just had Andrew Wiggins promise that, I'll work harder and I'm going to focus on defense. Okay, here's a max contract. Well, didn't work out.
Imagine if they used that max contract elsewhere. Just imagine that.
Well, I don't think they would have had the cap room anyway, but still, that's something you don't want that contract on your book, so it's going to be tough to move him, but see what happens with that. Let's move on to, we talked about the Grizzlies trying to trade their number 4 pick if they can attach Chandler Parsons' contract. Depends. It would be interesting to see if they're still looking for some return back because a team willing to take on, we talk about Luol Deng as the worst contract in the NBA. It's a really bad contract. Chandler Parsons has the worst contract because Deng doesn't play at all. Parsons barely plays when he's healthy, but he has the same 2 years left. I think it's an additional like $10 million more owed to him than Deng. That's going to be a really tough contract to move. So
I see the Grizzlies messing this up some way. They don't draft.
I think they're better off.
They're better off keeping Parsons
because they're not trying to be competitive next year anyway. So just keep Parsons' contract.
Draft at number 4. Take the 4th best talent in this draft in that super deep draft. At this point, at number 4, if you can end up with Luka Doncic or you can end up with a guy like that or Jaren Jackson Jr., who's the perfect modern NBA big.
Yeah.
If you're grabbing that at 4, that's a guy that you can actually build around, can actually grow in this franchise and become a cornerstone when Mike Conley comes back and figure it out with Marcus Gasol.
The problem with the Grizzlies, though, is that next year they don't own their pick. The Celtics do. So they don't have an incentive to tank next year. Yeah, I know.
The Celtics own a lot of picks.
The Clippers have the
Kings top 1 protected pick.
They have so many picks in their treasure chest that they're able to be in, contention for any player right now. And of course, like I've mentioned over previous podcasts, right now is the time for these star players to opt into their last year of their contracts and trade like what Chris Paul did. What it's been reported over and over again from people that I trust that it's at this point, the whole free agency and trying to go get that 5-year or 4-year, anything like that, it's not as appealing anymore. It's opting into that 1 year and getting traded to the situation that you want to do, actually leaving assets to the team that you were at prior and not gutting either team, finding a way to get on that team, make it happen, and team up with whoever you'd like at that point without breaking the bank. So,
and I think short-term contracts are going to be more popular going forward, that player mobility, being able to move around teams.
Yeah, especially with the salary cap increasing. We touched on this last podcast. Salary cap's been rising pretty much every year, and now with sports betting legalized, we'll see how that goes. Those longer contracts, yeah, it's the max contract maybe if you're good enough, but then you're locked into that max at the salary cap how it was when you signed it for the next 4 or 5 years versus getting those higher raises with the salary cap going up. Let's move on to our last topic before we get into the free agency rumors and trade rumors. I guess this is a little bit of a trade rumor, but Anthony Davis, there's been some reports that the Warriors are interested in trying to trade for him. Obviously, who wouldn't? I can name 28 other teams that are interested in trading for him too. Doesn't mean they're getting him, but he did say that if the Warriors trade for him that he's going to retire. So Anthony Davis, I just want to give a quick little applause to you because thank you.
I mean, they'd have to give up someone from the court.
Well, yeah, so probably. I mean, it might even be Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. Yeah. But
please, Kevin Durant.
But that would be a really tough team. So thank you, Anthony Davis, for making that known. And I hope that if they do trade for you, you do retire, because that would completely derail the Warriors' hopes of staying competitive. So what happens with that. But let's get into what we've all been really excited to talk about and what's been just flooding the NBA rumors for the past, ever since the finals ended, different rumors. But we're going to start with the Kawhi Leonard stuff. Kawhi Leonard reportedly yesterday has requested a trade from the San Antonio Spurs with Los Angeles, preferably the Lakers, as his number one option. There's been some conflicting reports that he hasn't told the Spurs directly, but that kind of speaks to how horrible the relationship is between them. Greg Popovich has wanted to meet with Kawhi Leonard this offseason. He still hasn't gotten to. I don't think there's any chance anything happens before they do meet, but let's talk about the different scenarios. There's seven teams that we've been mentioning on Twitter as possible destinations. Obviously, every team's going to do their due diligence, but with Kawhi Leonard reportedly having the Lakers as his number one preference and other teams not knowing if he'd re-sign after he becomes a free agent next offseason, assuming he opts out of the final year of his deal, which why would he not? We're going to have to see what other teams are going to be willing to trade for him, not knowing that he will re-sign there. So
besides the Lakers, who obviously he's pinpointed, the Lakers, the Celtics, the 76ers, the Clippers, the Cavaliers, the Kings, and the Suns all have in some way been in the mix for Kawhi Leonard in some sort of report that they'd be interested in. And why wouldn't you be interested in Kawhi Leonard, who is a top five player in this league and coming off an injury some people may forget and who haven't really watched Kawhi, but on both sides of the ball, it's absolutely insane. And on Twitter, please keep our notifications on. As always, we were all over the Kawhi news yesterday. Every single report that's came out, we had a poll up that we'll be sharing the results with you guys in a second. But of course, the Lakers getting dropped was the most intriguing, but obviously the most realistic one at this point because of his request to come here. But that's why it's going to lead us right into this poll, because just like we said, there was a lot of other teams interested. We put up, where do you think Kawhi Leonard plays this season? Lakers, Celtics, Clippers, other. I know we listed seven total teams, but these were the most realistic.
Well, you can't forget the Spurs. I mean, they could just hold on to him.
Right. I was talking really in terms of a trade. If he does get traded, where do you think he'll be playing? And other, of course, could have been the Spurs. Yeah. So if someone thought he'd be at the Spurs, it could have been other. But 55% Lakers, 23% Celtics, 6% Clippers, and 16% other. Let's just assume that other may be the Spurs at this point. The Lakers, 55% clear winners of this poll. And
which does not mean he's coming here, so no one will report that.
Nobody freak out.
No, it's confirmed. It's confirmed.
Nobody freak out yet, but
just
going to say,
if the NBA was run by Twitter, every player would be on the
Lakers. Nobody freak out yet, but I'm just going to say, I was on the phone with Corbin when this was all getting dropped and had Christian in my apartment with me, and Christian and I were spinning in circles, dancing, laughing like little girls.
I was doing the same.
Shrieking. So just letting you know, we've already celebrated far before we should.
Yeah, but so let's dive into these scenarios. So right off the bat, I just want to say that I think that for the Lakers to get Kawhi Leonard, it's going to take quite a bit from them because, one, they're in the same conference as the Spurs, and two, the Spurs and Greg Popovich does not want to help out the Lakers. They're rivals. They've had plenty of battles before. Popovich and the Spurs know how difficult it is to eliminate the Lakers in the postseason when they've been good. He's not going to willingly help the Lakers get back to where they were.
I actually have a list of different scenarios for pretty much each of these teams from different sources for us. I'm going to kind of just list them off, and we'll just run with you guys and see if you would take it, which side would maybe say no, if it intrigues you. We'll start with the Lakers, obviously. Lakers get Kawhi Leonard. Spurs, in return, would get Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, the Lakers' 2018 first-round pick, 25 overall, and the Lakers' 2019 lottery projected first-round pick as well. So that would be this round's 25th pick, the 2019 lottery projected first-round pick for the Lakers, Josh Hart, and Brandon Ingram. In return, you get Kawhi Leonard.
That trade, as currently constructed, one, it wouldn't work because the salaries have to match, so Luol Deng would have to be included in it. Actually, the Lakers could do that because they're under the cap.
Right.
But if I'm the Lakers, no, I don't do that without Luol Deng being a part of that deal.
So for you, you'd say the Lakers?
Because
wouldn't take this, not the Spurs, the Lakers?
If they could attach Luol Deng, then yes. Because part of, obviously, you want Kawhi Leonard because he's Kawhi Leonard. But on top of that, it's also the allure if they have Kawhi, then they need the cap room to be able to sign LeBron and Paul George. Which, if they don't trade Luol Deng back, unless they do a separate trade, having to trade other assets for Luol Deng, then they don't have the cap room for that.
Seif, if you're the Lakers, do you take this trade? If you're the Spurs, do you take this trade? Just Leonard straight up for Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and the two first-round picks.
So, I mean, if I'm the Spurs, I take this trade. I think getting Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, which I think is underrated,
definitely.
Those two draft picks, while I think the 2019 one will be higher than expected, assuming LeBron doesn't, for whatever reason, end up there, or correct me if I'm wrong. But if I'm a Lakers fan, the idea here, and Corbin hit it on the money, is the fact that this makes getting LeBron that much easier. While it seems like a lot to give up, and it most certainly is with the loss of Ingram, who is the second coming of Durant, opinion. The fact that this makes LeBron more interested in LA makes it easier for him to come. And in doing so, arguably makes it even easier for PG to find a way to LA.
That's why they have to trade Luol Deng.
But let's bring up another scenario really quick. I know you keep bringing up the Luol Deng. Bleacher Report actually came out with this scenario also. It would be involving Lonzo Ball instead of Brandon Ingram. It would be point guard Lonzo Ball, Luol Deng, Kyle Kuzma, the 2019 first round pick, and the 2021 first round pick. So it wouldn't even be this year's pick. We still get to hold on to number 25. But they'd be trading their 2019 first-round pick in 2021, Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma, but they are attaching Luol Deng's contract. In return, the Lakers receive Kawhi Leonard and Derek White, who they took in the late first round. I actually had the Lakers projected to take Derek White last year, shooting right out of Colorado, who I think is extremely underrated talent and do very well in the right system. But I actually like seeing that name in this mock. But for me, I like this trade better for both sides. And I know that losing Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma, of course, will hurt for the Lakers. Losing Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart will also lose for the Lakers. There is a very good young core there, but you're going to have to part ways. And we're talking a top five player in the NBA right now. Top five. A guy who, when healthy, can compete for an MVP right now. And I know with Anthony Davis and LeBron James still playing at the level he is, and James Harden, Russell Westbrook, it's going to be tough to win that MVP. But I'm just saying that Kawhi can play at that type of level. So that's what you're getting in return. And they're taking on Luol Deng for you at this point, which is what you've been just bringing up. Corbin, do you take this trade? Or Seif, either one of you guys.
In this case, if I'm the Spurs, I definitely don't take this trade. And here's why. The fact that I'm taking on Luol Deng's contract and I have to deal with the Ball family. If I'm Greg Popovich, I'm not trying to coach out my last 2 or 3 years Ball and what's going on here.
Is there any organization that could handle LeVar Ball better than the Spurs?
You know, the argument there is that I think while the Spurs could handle him the best, It could also be this one organization that wouldn't put up with shit that LeVar would put up.
I can see
right?
that.
So while I think that other markets might have more of an appetite for something like this, the Spurs won't, and Popovich won't. So if I'm him and I'm making these calls, I'm not taking Lonzo Ball if I'm Greg Popovich.
One other thing, really quickly, one other thing that you have to keep in mind is that if the Lakers were to trade for Kawhi Leonard, however it happens, if they do include Luol Deng in that trade, and then they were to sign Paul George and LeBron James, they would also lose Julius Randle. They'd have to give up his cap hold unless, for some reason, the LeBron James and Paul George were willing to each take, I think, around like $6-7 million less, which making a lot of money, but I don't see that happening.
Why would they do that? It's not like Julius Randle.
It depends.
With the three of them, if you're still able to retain rather the combination of Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma, or the combination of Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart, either one of those two, you've still won. Still get three of the top 10, possibly, debatably with Paul George. But, you know, Matt, if you put Paul George as number 10 in your top 10, you got three out of the top 10.
But, I mean, we've seen Kevin Durant just this past offseason took $10 million less so that the Warriors could retain
Andre
Iguodala.
But that's the Patriots
effect.
I know it's different.
And it's also
less money for Julius Randle.
I don't think that this happens. I'm just saying if they really want to do everything they possibly can to make sure they have the best chance of beating the Warriors, Julius Randle is a Draymond Green.
He's amazing. I'm just saying he is the worst situation for the Lakers right now.
Roadblock
that will probably do that. So it's not like he's sitting on this very friendly contract with another year and we're thinking if we should trade
him. I was just talking about these scenarios. You have to consider that if they don't trade for Kawhi Leonard and if they were to just try to get rid of Deng's contract and offer some sort of assets along with him, they would be able to make it work to where they could sign Paul George, LeBron, and bring Randall back. Whereas in this case, yes, you get Kawhi, but on top of the stuff you trade for him, you also have to consider you're losing Julius Randle as well.
Right. Christian, how do you feel about these moves here, at least for the Lakers or the Spurs? Would you take a trade if you're the Spurs with a Luol Deng package, or do you stay far away from that and you're more for that Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart package with two first-rounders where you're not creating that same cap space by unloading Luol Deng, but to unload Luol Deng is going to be a bit tougher. So which
they need
more
to think, I
intrigues
mean, from,
you?
From the Lakers' standpoint, they need to unload Luol Deng's contract.
Yeah.
Find some way to, if not the Spurs, maybe a three-way trade, try to move other assets around and get rid of him. But to actually go against what Steve said, I think that even with LeVar Ball being who he is, and I think that having Lonzo on the Spurs gives them at least a glimmer of hope towards the future. You at least have a pretty good building block that is – He's not a great shooter, but he's still a transcendent passer. If you can get some shooters to surround him, you know, you don't have a bad team there, and you still have due to his picked number two last year, you still have a pretty good piece for your future. So I like Brandon Ingram, but Lonzo Ball definitely at least has more hope towards the future.
It'd be a better fit with the team that they're trying to build right now. If they are doing this super team, they need somebody to run the point. And Lonzo Ball there would fit a lot better than, of course, I think Brandon Ingram, it's super hard to trade him away, but he'd be overshadowed by Paul George and LeBron James.
I think they both have the potential to be top 10, 15 players in this league, but the way that you measure their impact is much different. Brandon Ingram is going to be one of the best scorers in this league. Lonzo Ball is not. Lonzo Ball graded out last year as, analytically speaking, the best defensive point guard in the league. So, and Ingram's a very good... And he's still figuring stuff out on the defensive end. He has the potential to be one of the best defensive wings in the league. But you're trading Brandon Ingram, if you're trading him for Kawhi, you're trading what you hope he can become to Kawhi for what is ultimately what you hope.
Best basketball player when he's healthy.
Yes. So we'll see what happens, and whether it's, if they do make the trade, whether it's Lonzo Ball or Ingram, I don't think that they trade both, but one of them, and then either
I don't see any scenario where Ingram and Lonzo Ball are in the same trade.
No.
Let's move on to the Celtics. This one's got a few more pieces for the Spurs to receive. The Celtics would just receive Kawhi Leonard. Spurs, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Morris, Terry Rozier, Gershon Yabusele, sorry if I pronounced that wrong, Abdel Nadir, Semi Ojeleye and the Kings' top one protected 2019 first round pick. What do you think, Corbin, on this one? Because they'd be receiving a lot back if you're the Spurs.
Yeah, I think.
I think you take this, no doubt. If you're
the Spurs. I think that's. If the Celtics offer that, that's a better offer than what the Lakers are going to offer.
Right.
And on top of that, you also have to consider you're also trading Kawhi to the East instead of helping your rival. So if the Celtics offer that, then yeah, I think they go with that instead. And I think it makes sense for the Celtics if they really feel like Kawhi Leonard would re-sign there. So there's some risk. Again, we talk about risk. Some risk involved with that trade. But if the Celtics offer that, yeah.
I just think their cupboards are so stacked that they shouldn't leverage themselves like that. And I was watching Colin Coward the other day, and if you're a GM, a good way to keep your job is to have, you know, hope for the future. So, and them having all those draft picks, no matter how bad the Celtics do, like, as Danny Ainge writes his name, the GM of the Celtics, he's going to have a job no matter what because he can, like, we have these picks for the future. You trade all those away and then they suck, you might be out of a job quicker than later. So
yes, but as long as they're healthy. And again, with Kawhi Leonard, that's another risk is just not knowing if he's healthy or not. That injury last year was very strange.
He's healthy. It's because I know – well, one thing that really pissed off Kawhi Leonard that I read in reports is that – I don't know if you guys remember when Tony Parker and I believe Manu Ginobili also came out with statements saying they've had similar injuries, but they were way worse and how – you know, they were saying that. And it was clear that it was coming from Pop. And apparently within Kawhi camp, it was reported, it really pissed him off. And that's something that he thought, just stay out of it. That's within the clubhouse kind of comments. And you shouldn't be having your players be speaking for you if you want to say that kind of, to say it to my face kind of thing. And that's what he didn't like about it. So, and I agree with what Tony Parker and them said. It was the same injury, if not less. And so he's fine. He sat out the entire season. He clearly knew that he wanted to do this, what he's doing right now. This has been a plan for a while, and Kawhi doesn't say anything, and he's not flaunting his shit, and he's not going around being that kind of player. He's stayed in, I think it's New Jersey, with his uncle and just training and like staying far away from the organization and being like that. And I think it was decided he was going to ask for a trade and to where a long time ago. He's not going to talk to Pop this offseason. The only time he's going to talk to him is saying farewell on his way to wherever they decide to trade him.
He has nothing to gain talking to
Pop. He was there when Pop's wife died and the entire players had their thing. That was the last time he was in the Spurs facility. It was quotes from players, from personnel. It felt like nothing changed. It felt like he never left. It felt like he's always just been there and it was normal. Nothing was awkward. It was just really good to have everyone there together like a family. And then he just left and never came back. He was there. He cared about it, but it's just not repairable, and that's the thing. And, it, you know, there was different reports that I was hearing from Crispy Haynes that it's just unrepairable. He's not worried about not qualifying for this Supermax contract. Yeah. He doesn't care. He just wants out.
He wants to be somewhere where he's happy.
Literally, his happiness is his number one thing.
And when you're making that much money, is there really that much of a difference between...
That's why I don't hammer Kevin Durant as much as some people do.
Yeah.
If you're truly unhappy in Oklahoma City and living somewhere... Because he was up there for the Super Bowl. He was taking pictures in Northern California, and he was loving it up there. So you can call him a snake, but if he's loving his life, he doesn't owe you anything.
Whatever. Let's move on to the 76ers, another option, and trade scenario that was dropped by one of the sources. 76ers get Kawhi Leonard. The Spurs get Dario Saric and the 76ers 2018 first-round pick, number 10 overall. I'm going to start with Seif on this one right now. Number 10 overall this pick. This year, and Dario Saric for Leonard. Is that enough?
If I am the Sixers, I take that trade in.
Me the Sixers, for sure.
Wow.
Do the Spurs take this?
I don't think the Spurs take this. I mean, I don't even know if throwing in someone like Markel Fultz is enough to take this.
It's enough to get you to talk.
It's a conversation starter.
This isn't even close.
100%. But if the Spurs, for whatever reason, can't get more than this and want to send Kawhi to the East... 76ers should take this, throw in something else to sweeten the deal.
If the Spurs were to take this trade, they must absolutely hate the Lakers because I guarantee
they despise the Lakers.
Yeah. They rip a mask off the Browns.
They got to despise the Clippers too because Kawhi said, I want to go to Los Angeles, and that's going to move us on to the Clippers, to our next team. I want to go to Los Angeles. The Lakers are my number one, obviously, but the Clippers are a dark horse in this as well, and they're very intrigued with Kawhi. Let's move on to their scenario. The Clippers get Kawhi Leonard. The Spurs get back Tobias Harris, and the Clippers 2018 first round picks, the two of them, 12 and 13 overall, back to back. Both of them are two lottery picks in a package, and Tobias Harris for Kawhi Leonard. Now we're talking the 76ers offer that's ridiculous for the Spurs. This is an offer that if I'm the Spurs, I'm extremely interested in. You don't send them to the Lakers because the Spurs, what's up?
You think they would? You think the Clippers would do this?
You think the Clippers would take that? The Clippers would for sure give this, for sure.
I don't think
they'd have one good guy with no assets for the future.
They have a decent amount of assets. Chris Paul really set them up well.
But I think when you're nowhere close to beating the Warriors, you should just keep stashing and stashing until you can put together an effort that would beat them. I don't think if you add Kawhi Leonard, you're just taking away from your long-term.
It's a step in the right direction.
But you have to remember, he also has said he doesn't want to sign. Or not that, but the Lakers are his preference. So a lot of these teams may be only seeing Kawhi for a one-year rental, Clippers included, maybe.
But he did say Los Angeles. And the way it was worded, again, it's just how the tweet was. But I think if he's traded to the Clippers, he probably re-signs there. But just giving up Tobias Harris and two late lottery picks to steal for the Clippers, if I'm the Spurs, I don't do that because Tobias Harris isn't someone you can build around. And then picks 12 and 13.
Tobias Harris is a good player to have on your team. They're not looking to replace Kawhi. The 12th and 13th pick, you either take two players in the lottery or you trade the two of those and move up to a top five pick.
I don't think that would get you a top five, 12 and 13 for top five. You have to attach more to it. But if I'm the Spurs, trading someone who some people make the case is the second best player in the league and arguably a top five player in the league.
Wait, I have a question. We're working on what you just said. At number five, the Mavericks, who obviously have a need for center, but it's one of the deepest draft classes for centers in a long time. You don't see them. If you're them at number five and you don't have your guy there, you wouldn't take 12 and 13, two different lottery picks to move up to five?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
If you're number five and the Clippers offer you 12 and 13 and you see that you can move back and get your guy, 12 and 13, is that enough to move back from
5? Well, they're not going to get their guy. Instead of 12 and 13, I'd rather want, if it's like Michael Porter Jr. or Mo Bamba, Jaren Jackson, whoever it might be. So
I'm going to probably be with Corbin here. I'd rather take a flyer on one of those guys instead of the combo of players.
Yeah.
What about, Chris, what are we, 12 and 13?
I mean, I'm crazy. I would try to just stash it for like another year, like try to get a top pick in next year's draft. Wow. Me personally, like when I see the Warriors, I see myself going into a bunker and putting on my tinfoil hat and then just coming out a couple years there and be like, y'all done? Okay, now I'm going to go back and just keep stashing picks until I feel like, because, I mean, they're the off-brand Lakers, like, try to get someone to come here.
It's just when you're giving up someone of Kawhi Leonard's caliber, obviously you're not going to be getting someone back that's at the same level as him, but you want someone that you can build a franchise around, maybe not be the only centerpiece,
Spurs
Tobias
have,
Harris isn't
the Spurs that, have Tony Parker and Ginobili for only so long. Only for so long. That's what I'm saying. They only have them for so long. The pieces on this team, of course, they have guys like Danny Green and other guys that add some young here, Murray and stuff like that. They have some pieces. But that's what I was saying. They have pieces. They still can win now with the team that they have, even with losing Leonard. If you bring in lottery picks, like a 12, 13, and Tobias Harris to bring in to be your eighth man, who cares? You get 12 and 13. You don't just set yourself up to win now with the team that you have. You're pretty much setting up the two players there that are about to take over for Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, hopefully as two cornerstones of your franchise to move forward with LaMarcus Aldridge, Murray, a lot of these pieces that they have, because they do have a good formula there. If Kawhi leaves, this isn't the LeBron effect. The Spurs will still probably sneak into the playoffs.
We
next
saw
year
this past year. This past year, Kawhi played nine games. They still made the playoffs.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah,
so,
they're still.
But at this point,
not
that's
a
12,
championship.
But I'm just saying, if you get a 12 and a 13, Tobias Harris, you're adding him as a solid part of your bench. A guy that can really spread the floor, but he's not even going to crack your starting lineup. He's not going to be your sixth man.
He might,
you know, if you've got injury problems. But a 12 and a 13, Donovan Mitchell, what was he? What draft pick was he last year?
13,
like that. So like, imagine striking 14. At least striking gold on one of them at that point, and then the other one is a solid contributor on your bench, or maybe you strike gold on both of them. Who knows? Because this is one of the deepest drafts besides last year, two of the deepest drafts in the last decade, no doubt. So you know that. So we'll move on to the next team, and it would be the Kings, Kawhi Leonard to the Kings for Bogdan Bogdanovic. And Sacramento's 2018 first round pick, number 2 overall. What do you think?
I mean, if all of these offers that we've talked about are out on the table,
we're saying all these offers are out.
Then the Celtics is more intriguing because you trade him to opposite conference and you still have the Kings pick next year, which, okay, maybe it's not number two, but it's still probably top five, top six. And you get those other prospects like Jaylen Brown back. This Kings trade, it could be intriguing for the Spurs, but it's just you're trading into the same conference. Probably do that over the Lakers trade, just depending on depending on how they feel about Ingram. Because I know how I feel, but I don't
know.
Also
It's also the 25th pick this yes. round and a future first round.
Yeah, and Josh Hart. But it's also they're helping their arch rivals too, which that's going to factor into
it.
And how they feel about the prospects at the top of this draft too. But yeah, and the Kings, this would make no sense for them because there's no way Kawhi is staying there long term. This would be so Sacramento Kings-like to do, though. So we'll see. What do you guys think?
I really hope the Kings don't make this trade for that franchise.
No.
One, I don't think they'll make it. Two, like you said, it depends how the Spurs feel about the dudes in the draft. Have the Spurs been doing their due diligence on the top
I'm
five
sure.
guys in the draft?
Of course.
Do you do that?
Team.
I mean, I don't
Every
know.
Team.
You, even if you don't.
You prepare for all
Every
scenarios.
Yeah,
they haven't been drafted or haven't been scouted probably as highly as like the Hawks or the Kings are doing. But yeah,
I mean, that's what I'm trying to make. If they are in love secretly with one of those guys, then go ahead and pull the trigger if you're the Spurs.
Yeah.
Like Corbin said, you're not going to get exact Kawhi Leonard value for him, but
nope, yeah,
there's
we'll
still other offers better than that.
Let's hear one more from the Cleveland Cavaliers, Kawhi Leonard and Patty Mills to the Cavaliers for George Hill, Kyle Korver, Seti Osman, Larry Nance, and the number 8 overall pick.
No chance.
No, for both sides?
Well, for the Cavs. This is assuming LeBron stays with the Cavs, but
right as you said though, to keep LeBron, you're going to have to trade that number 8
overall
first.
Oh no!
So
if I'm the Cavs and I do this, hell yes. But if I'm the Spurs,
do they do this because regardless, they're going to have to do this to keep LeBron or entice him to stay. But regardless, if LeBron leaves, you got Kawhi Leonard now. At least you're in a hell of a lot better situation than you
had George Hill back if you're the Spurs, which was one of Greg Popovich's favorite players. It pained him to trade him to the Pacers.
Kyle Korver is a very efficient player that would fit well in a Popovich offense too.
I don't think the Cavs actually seriously consider this trade without knowing if Kawhi is resigning. Kawhi is not going to resign until he knows LeBron.
Yeah.
What's your plan?
Yeah, they don't do this
be
before.
Two people.
Yeah, so the fact that
this
there's
is a
too many
effect,
moving
yeah.
pieces here, I think is too high risk if I'm the Cavs.
I totally agree with you. And the Cavs at this point, they got a brace for him to leave or have to move this pick to figure out a way for him to stay. Either one, they're going to have to figure it out. We got one more of the Knicks here. We got Spurs go and grab Tim Hardaway, Frank Ntilikina, and the New York Knicks 2018 first-round pick number 9 overall. So Hardaway, Ntilikina, and number 9 for Leonard.
Well, I mean, yeah, the Knicks would do it, but the Spurs, that's not...
The Spurs?
No,
Tim Hardaway is on a kind of bad contract. Ntilikina didn't...
Screen. By Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, Ntilikina didn't have a great rookie year. And then the first round pick, 9th overall, you'd be able to get a good player there, but that's not a good enough return for Kawhi. I think that they'd be able to do much better than that.
I don't think there's enough upside in that trade if you're the Spurs, especially in positions, to be honest, that, I mean, with maybe the backcourt that they have right now or the fact that they could go get later in the draft, I don't think they pull the trigger on this.
No, I don't think so either.
So the Suns, there actually isn't a trade scenario from one of our sources, so we'll kind of just play around with that for a sec. But there has been a source that's linked the Suns being very interested and obviously going for it if it becomes official. But the thing is, they do have
that number one overall pick.
Another pick right after the lottery. I believe it's 16, I want to say.
Yeah, I think so.
And then they also have number 31. So they do have a lot of picks that they can move along with assets and players. So don't count the Suns out.
Like you
so
said, they
feel
comfortable re-signing.
Really quickly, like
Devin
one
Booker, they do have a
one trade team scenario team. Off the top of my head with the Suns that could make some sense to make the financials work. Tyson Chandler would be included in it, and then obviously the number one overall pick, and then maybe T.J. Warren and or
Dragon
the number
Bender,
16 pick. Yeah, Dragon Bender is another one. So some combination of that, I think, not all of that, but a combination of that. That's an intriguing
trade.
And
the thing is,
this
I think the Suns, with the amount of assets that they have and picks, I see them as the kind of team to take this chance. seem as a kind of team to move, and they have still on more draft picks after that. Very Browns of them this year.
But
they're the Browns
just,
of the
it's
NBA.
Just, is Kawhi going to re-sign there?
Yeah, I also don't know.
Do they feel? Do they feel confident?
Hold on, I think the Suns take that chance with or without the confidence that they re-sign Kawhi.
That's
I think
why
they,
the Suns haven't been good.
I'm not saying that the number one pick. I don't think they trade it. They keep that. They're taking DeAndre Ayton. But you got DeAndre Ayton there. You got Jackson from the draft last year. You got a lot of young assets there. Devin Booker, who's emerging as a young star in this league, and seriously,
you think
putting
they can trade for Kawhi without giving up that number one pick? Is that what you said?
31. I don't think so.
I think they'd have to give up a lot of assets. But they also have future picks too. So I'm not saying that they don't include a first round. I just don't think they put this year's first round at 16. 16, a future first. You can even put number 31 with it. Add Warren or Bender.
I don't think the Spurs go for it. The only way this even is even a conversation starter is if you tell me the number one pick is
because you're trading him within your same conference.
They just have a lot of pieces. Honestly, both teams are losing in this trade.
Like you're not going to compete in the West at this point in time. No. The only winner maybe is San Antonio because they're getting a building block of the future.
If they get the number one, yeah.
There's no reason to leverage yourself that heavily if you can't beat the Warriors or come close to them.
Yeah. So let's shift gears from the Kawhi Leonard stuff. Really quickly, before we move on, just quick predictions. Where do you think Kawhi Leonard's playing next year?
Los Angeles. Lakers.
Christian says Lakers.
I think he's going to be in L.A., and I actually think LeBron's going to be in L.A., as will be PG. I think the Lakers and Magic find a way to come through.
All three of them.
The Laker fan in me wants to agree with you, and I love hearing that stuff. But if I'm making a prediction right now, I'm actually going to say the Celtics.
I could absolutely see it too.
Yeah. The Celtics would probably be my number two as well. And if not, I'm not counting out the Clippers here. I'm really not. Because just like you said, it was very loose the way they worded it. Los Angeles is the destination, and the Lakers would be a preference kind of thing. But it was very, I live in L.A. because he does. Went to San Diego State. He loves the area. He wants to go to one of the L.A. teams. And the thing is, the Clippers with 12 and 13 and assets really intrigued me.
And with the Lakers, it's just this stuff has to move so quickly. But
Magic Johnson's probably the only person right now with Rob Pelinka that I think can move as quickly as Azu. When this news dropped, he sprinted out of a workout and ran away. Yeah. And there was reporters being like, not sure if Magic literally just sprinted away to go get Kawhi. But seems like what it looked
come
like.
Come back with Kawhi.
It's just like, I'm going to go run to his house real quick and just go pull him up. So, But at this point, there's no other front office that's equipped to move as quick as it's going to take the Lakers to have to pull these kind of trigger moves. They're not messing around now. They know the assets they have. And although the fans may be in love with Kuzma and Ball, Ingram, we're all willing to part ways.
We
want to
win
with all of them now. Because when you're buying your Kawhi Leonard jersey and you had to part ways with one or two of them, or you're getting your Paul George jersey realizing that you had to not re-sign Julius Randle to make that happen, you're going to sleep perfectly fine that night. I promise you. I don't care how deep that Laker fan is in you, and all you want to see is these stars develop like Kobe. You don't give a shit. You want to win. You are used to losing now. If you are a younger Laker fan, you're used to losing. That's all you've seen in your life. It's sad. We've actually been able to experience the good, the bad. We were fans when Wayne Ellington was starting with Ryan Kelly.
It's very fun, guys, when they're winning championships.
Jordan Hill, we were there watching that. So that's what I'm saying at this point. Right now, Magic Johnson is here to save the Lakers, not here to take his sweet time, but he is willing to move as quick as it's going to have to take and give up whatever he has to take. Corbin, I remember you being absolutely livid to where you couldn't sleep at night because of this D'Angelo Russell trade. And from the second it happened, I was sitting here saying, and Christian too, culture move, this is a long-term thing. Mozgov, this. He doesn't want Russell there. He sees bigger plans. He's going to draft well. What did he do? Went out and had one of the best drafts that I can ever remember.
He used the
money very wisely in free agency. Russell who? What kind of year did Russell have this year? Mozgov's gone. Everything's gone. We got back the pick that netted us Kuzma. Everything else that every move that he's made so far, you agree with it or not,
like
he's made those fast moves that you're saying he's got to make because he believes
and
in what he does.
Just like, see, if you said that you had the Celtics as the number two most likely scenario, I think Lakers, I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up there. Lakers, I think, can offer, realistically, without them giving everything up, second best offer behind the Celtics. And it's just a question of if the Celtics are willing to give up all of that, not knowing if he will re-sign.
And the Lakers know that he'll re-sign. So I think the Lakers are willing to make such a big offer, knowing that he'll re-sign.
And speaking of the Celtics real quick, I actually think if Kawhi gets traded to the Celtics, I think it's actually highly likely that he resigns.
Oh, I think so too.
Brad Stevens is that kind of coach.
And there's no, tell me a team in the East that's going to not.
No.
Brad Stevens is a modern.
Money though to retain Kyrie Irving, Kawhi.
Yeah, because they can go over the cap to re-sign.
Brad Stevens is a modern Popovich. It'd be perfect. I'm just telling you that right now. So let's move on to LeBron James and what obviously the Kawhi Leonard news means for that. But we took a quick Twitter poll. Let's start out with that, asking you guys what team will LeBron James be playing for next year? Cavaliers, Lakers, 76ers, or other? Other actually won with 31%.
It's probably the Rockets.
It'd probably be the Rockets at that point. If not, you know, what other team can you think of that would?
Spurs.
Well, I mean, before the Kawhi Leonard stuff, the Spurs maybe.
I would say the Rockets would probably be that other. So at this point, others won 31%, 76ers at 28%, Lakers at 24%, Cavaliers at 17%. This was before the Kawhi Leonard news dropped. I'm sure the Lakers percentage would have went up a bit, but as of right now, other and then 76ers.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? And we'll start with any of you guys, whoever wants to take the reign right now for who.
That's our Louisiana fan base voting for NOLA. I think Shannon Sharp had mentioned it like twice on his show.
Play with the Pelicans.
That's never going
to
happen.
LeBron James is never playing for the Pelicans.
No. No one wants to
live there.
Okay. Look. At this point, Steve, what do you think right now for LeBron James? Because the Kawhi Leonard news has to make a ton of difference for you.
Yeah. I mean, pre-news, I think the best situation for LeBron would have been, honestly, to go to Philly.
That's what I said.
Yeah, you want the easiest path to the finals. Like, you only have to go through Boston, and I'm not taking anything away from Boston in their core. We don't even know how good they can be when they're actually fully healthy for a season.
Yeah, seriously.
And have some chemistry going on with Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. But, you know, you join any team in the West without Kawhi or without help, he's going to be in a Cleveland situation that's so much worse.
Well, he'd never come here without help.
I don't know. You know, like I think he would come here knowing that it'd be very easy for him to recruit people. But I think he's realized from this experience with Cleveland, he needs a lot of help.
He's not going to the Lakers without another star.
Do you
think
if they signed two free agents, like it'd happen in like 10 minutes, like LeBron would sign, then Paul George would sign, like right after? Like, how do you think that would go down?
Something where I don't think
they all plan it out. They all plan it out.
Yeah, no, they definitely talk. I don't think LeBron James would commit to signing to the Lakers without knowing that a combination of Paul George and or Kawhi Leonard is there. Paul George, I think, could sign with the Lakers without knowing that another star is coming, whereas LeBron James can't. Paul George also mentioned to TMZ Sports that he likes playing with LeBron James. Quote, "It was fun playing with him at All-Star Weekend." I thought it was interestingly timed for him to say that in June with his free agency upcoming. Wojnarowski has been talking about how they're going to talk this offseason about teaming up. I think that LeBron and Paul George both come to the Lakers, but as far as which domino falls first, in years past, it's always been everyone's waiting on LeBron before anyone else goes anywhere, but I think that Paul George could commit to the Lakers without knowing that LeBron will come.
Mm-hmm. Let's bring up this quick Twitter poll for Paul George. We asked you guys what team will Paul George be playing for next year. This is before the Kawhi news, definitely. You guys said Lakers 48%, Thunder 41%, 76ers 5%, Rockets 6%. So just a select few of you were taking that wild card picks, but it's between the Thunder and the Lakers. You guys picked Lakers 48% for Paul
really,
George.
Really quickly before we move to Paul George, just predictions for where LeBron goes. So I say Lakers. Seif, you said Lakers. Perry, Lakers,
Lakers,
right?
Lakers.
Lakers, okay.
And that
so
changed from the last podcast when I said 76ers because of the fact that they had the ability
to
bring in...
It's just a weird fit.
Well, they had the ability to bring in David Griffin, and that wouldn't have been a weird fit. That would have been a good fit.
With
and,
Ben Simmons.
And it's a weird fit, you're right, with the fact that he needs shooters around him, and you know, you'd have to re-sign J.J. Redick to a bigger contract because he's really the best shooter you got, and you're going to be spending a little bit more than you should.
You had also mentioned the Cavs. Do you think that there's no chance he goes back?
I don't think there's any chance that he goes back to the Cavs now. I know that LeBron James, what we reported, that he was actually touring private high schools in Houston yesterday. So for you guys that picked other for the LeBron James poll.
We got into that on our last podcast, just how tough it would be for them to make
it. He actually was touring private high schools yesterday in Houston. So that has to be
reportedly
a sign. But
well, the Suns reportedly committed to Sierra Canyon too. So yeah.
Right. So I mean, Sierra Canyon in California has definitely been an option for him too. He definitely hasn't made any decision because that was from Gary Payton.
But can we stop talking about his kid and what his kid's doing? It's one thing to be reporting.
To be honest, but Dwayne Wade said the entire decision is going to be.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it, but it's just.
And what his.
It's uncomfortable.
What his wife wants to do.
To be speculating about where this ninth grader is.
Oh, right.
We're
not speculating anything. We're just letting you know that LeBron James is in Houston yesterday.
It could definitely indicate
touring private high schools. As our job is to report that, and it's not, oh, that's just no big deal. He's just in high school. He's just in high schools in Houston because he likes the Houston area. He hasn't had any history of. Helping the Houston area. It's not that he wouldn't. It's just that he doesn't have any history in Houston. Who tours schools when you literally just had rumors about your kid going to Sierra Canyon because Gary Payton said so?
While we're on that subject,
story.
Really quickly, I know I said we shouldn't be talking about kids and just talk about the adults, but Scottie Pippen on ESPN's The Jump, Rachel Nichols basically asked him. She brought up this rumor and said she doesn't like talking about it, but Scottie Pippen, because Gary Payton said how Scottie Pippen's son goes to Sierra Canyon,
right, so
which he does.
Super team of kids.
And, yeah.
It's Kenny Martin's kid, too.
And, or his nephew or something. Yeah. But Rachel Nichols asked him, can you please just shoot down this rumor? And he said, I wish I could. And then she asked, well, is he going there? And he said, well, nothing's official yet.
Nothing is official yet.
But that means there's definitely some substance.
That's shady.
There's substance to this.
It's a story.
There's substance to this. But let's move on to Paul George.
Which went hand in hand with LeBron James. Yes. This was just a big domino effect with Kawhi Leonard. And that changed my prediction for LeBron James from just last week, saying that now I think he's going to go to the Lakers. Paul George, as Corbin just said, he thinks the two of them are going to be teaming up in LA. Yeah. You guys agreed. 48% of you said the Lakers. 41% said Thunder that you're going to go back and try it again with Russell Westbrook. That might not be Carmelo Anthony in the same capacity because he does have the ability to opt in if he'd like to, which he probably will. But just hearing, I want to hear you guys' opinion because they think the Lakers, I think the Lakers personally, you guys, where do you think he's playing?
Well, there was that report that came out a few days ago from Adrian Wojnarowski, saying how the Oklahoma City Thunder have a better chance to re-sign Paul George than originally thought. And when that happened, there were people that were misquoting that or misinterpreting it to say that the Thunder are now expected to re-sign Paul George. That's not what the report was. The report was that the Thunder, who a lot of people completely counted out, still have a chance to re-sign him, better than what people thought, which was there's no chance. So now there's a chance. Okay, that doesn't mean he's going there. Yeah, I still think he goes to the Lakers. I know you think so too, Perry. Christian, Steve, what do you guys
think? All three of my favorite couple of Lakers, Kawhi, LeBron.
Like I said, I think all three team up. I think when you have an opportunity, if you're LeBron, PG, where they have choices, and potentially Kawhi as well, if he can influence that in some way, you don't turn down an opportunity to play in the most historic franchise on the biggest stage. And if you want to really...
With the best player maybe of all time.
With the best player. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, they're both from the L.A. area, so it'd be homecoming for them.
And if I'm LeBron, if I can go through the West and beat the Warriors before the finals, that just adds to my legacy.
Yeah, I totally agree. Let's move on to our next guy, Kevin Durant, who there's not much to talk about, but we put out a poll asking you guys what team you thought Kevin Durant would be playing for next year. It was very quick between your choices, Warriors or other. There's not any potential speculation, but you guys said 87% Warriors. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I don't think there's any chance that he plays basketball anywhere else besides Golden State. You guys all agree? Christian?
He might retire there.
I can see that too.
I really expect him to retire.
In 5 years.
I do too. Yeah, he had said he might retire in 5 years. It's weird. You think about Kevin Durant as so much younger than LeBron, but it's only a 3-year difference.
Yeah, no.
Really quickly, there was a report that came out, again, linking him to the Lakers, saying that he might team up with LeBron. That's not happening.
No.
Yeah, he's staying.
He literally, there was a rumor that the Warriors would try and go get LeBron James, and he pretty much shunned it off. He said, I pretty much said it didn't happen.
Yeah, there was a report about that, but then he shot that down.
Not only would Durant lose so much credibility if he went to go team up
with
LeBron, it would tear his entire legacy, his fan base.
It would tear me up because I've been hating on
Corbin
him for the past few years and now I'd have to like
Corbin
him.
Corbin is so butthurt for him already right now. If he made one more move, he'd be like, snake,
my head
double snake, three heads on the snake.
I think Christian makes a good point here real quick that I think if Durant is even thinking about leaving, D.C., with Bradley Beal and John Wall.
He's also from there.
And from being there, like you said, that starts competing with the Celtics.
Yeah, I think it does too. But he's said before that the notion of playing at home isn't something that really interests him. So it doesn't mean that it makes him less interested.
Yeah.
It's just not an added factor.
The question was, where is he playing next year? It's the Warriors,
it's
no
the
doubt.
Warriors. Let's move on.
Chris Paul. He definitely pulled strings last year, opting into the last year of his contract, finding a way to get onto the Houston Rockets and compete for a title this year. They were very close. He went down with a hamstring injury at the end.
Otherwise,
I just saw a tweet yesterday of him working out and multiple things, pretty much just rehabbing very well, and that he obviously is putting that out as content because of his free agency right now, and you obviously want to make yourself, you know, answer any doubters that you have, especially with injuries that you're injury prone. We don't have a poll for Chris Paul necessarily, but what do you guys think he's going to be playing next year? Will it be Rockets, or do you see an other scenario that...
Yeah, well, there's been, again, it seems like every single one of these free agents are linked to the Lakers, and rightfully so, they're the only team with enough cap space to sign two
next-level free agents.
I brought
that up yesterday. Christian didn't like that idea at all, but I brought
it. I don't like it either. He's been linked to it. He's LeBron James, is one of his best friends.
I brought it up.
Yeah, and I think that the only way that scenario is even opened up, and I'd much rather want Paul George on the Lakers than Chris Paul, just because Chris Paul is five years older than Paul George, and he's also 6 feet tall instead of 6 foot nine. Versatile, yeah, and the injury factor. Chris Paul, he did what he did last offseason with kind of negotiating his way to get traded to the Rockets with the idea that the Clippers did not want to give him a 5-year supermax deal. The Rockets have told him that, yes, they're willing to give him that 5-year deal, the max deal. If they decide that just because of his injury history, they're not comfortable giving him those 5 years, then I think that's the only way that opens up the door to where Chris Paul looks somewhere else. Because he's in a great situation in Houston. There's an outside chance that LeBron James comes there. I don't think that's really that likely because of everything we talked about in our last podcast. But I think ultimately the Rockets give him that 5-year max deal and he stays in Houston.
And that'll be the mistake of a lifetime.
It will. He's not worth that at all. And that's what terrifies me about having to pay. 5 years, I think Chris Paul's, 33, 34 years old?
But also
5 years, you're paying a 38-year-old Chris Paul who already has injury problems.
I'm just asking you this. Take the contract away for a sec. Let's say they lock him down for 5 years. They figure out the money. He's there for 5 years. This was the first that he got traded here. They were the number one seed, one of the best offenses of all time. And this was dealing with not just his injury, but, you know, James Harden going down with some sort of injury in the year as well for at least a few weeks.
And he bricked it up.
And so at this point, Chris Paul clearly made the difference. They became the team they were looking to become, the team that Corbin doubted in the beginning, saying the two, you know, point guard system wouldn't work out. D'Antoni is the point guard whisperer, and he's figured this out. And they had pleasant surprises like Clint Capella and guys that really contributed to this team in a big way. Ariza, Eric Gordon, guys they will probably have to lose at some point if they want to make moves past where they are right now. But I think they're so close. And I, of course, putting all that money into maybe or maybe not Chris Paul for 5 years is not a good financial decision. But when their goal is to win a championship in the next 3 years, regardless of the money that they're going to have to spend, they were as close as you physically can be this year. They went 7 games with the defending champion Warriors, who won again. 7 games to almost make it themselves. At that point, just like Christian and I said, the West was the NBA Finals. It didn't matter who went. They were going to rather sweep the Cavs, or it was going to be 6 games, tops. There was no chance that Cavs team was going to win this championship, regardless of how LeBron James was playing. One of the best postseasons of all time. But you know that. Right there, it's point proven that at this point, you need to...
Yeah, that 5-year deal for Chris Paul,
while
it would be an atrocious contract probably by year
it's
four or five,
it's their best chance.
You have to make that deal because
and then they can move other
what
pieces.
Alternative do you have? Yes, and there's no alternative unless you completely gut the roster to
if you add
create
one more point,
room.
Let's say you let Clint Capella walk away, who would be another guy we were going to talk about. Let's just talk about it now. Clint Capella, who is, you know, facing free agency, who could walk away. Let's say they bring in a guy like DeAndre Jordan. Maybe he's the difference maker. I'm not saying that.
All I'm letting you know right now is that
they were at their seventh game of that series, pretty much should have won that game. If it was completely healthy and Chris Paul didn't go down, it's debatable. All I'm saying is they're one move away, maybe two moves away.
And as a GM,
as close as they can be right now. Because if they lose Chris Paul, they're back to the drawing board. They were this close.
I actually don't think if I'm the Rockets, I make any moves.
No,
I don't think I'm a player or two away. I think I have the right pieces. In fact, you look at Game 7.
If you're healthy.
You had the right pieces.
But do you think they're able to retain Ariza and Capella and these guys?
I think you find a way to make it work, and you might be slightly different.
Well, Ariza
was players. You can't find a way to make it work, and Capella's going to get paid way more
but
than you can offer.
He's a restricted free agent. No, you can offer him. You can go over the salary cap to re-sign him. Ariza, too. If Ariza, there's that report that he wants to go to the Warriors. I just don't see why, because you're in a position right now where you can get paid more and you have a realistic chance of beating the Warriors. You showed it this year.
Daryl Morey is willing to spend tons of money
and
do crazy stuff, too.
One thing about the decision on Chris Paul giving him those 5 years, as a GM, you can't be concerned about what's going to be happening 4 or 5 years from now. You're the GM right now. You don't know if you're going to be the GM in 4 or 5 years.
You
make that move
because 2 years in,
right
that
now,
contract
yeah.
is still on the books,
and
it's not your problem.
Not your problem at all. So you make that move right now with the intent of knowing that, okay, probably year 4 or 5, it's going to be pretty ugly, and I'm going to be maybe looking to offload this contract somehow. But right now, I'm trying to win this next year, and Chris Paul gives me the best chance of that. And Clint Capella, we brought him up. He's a restricted free agent. If they were trying to gut their roster so that they could make room for LeBron James, then maybe he goes somewhere else. But I don't think none of us think that LeBron James is going to the Rockets. So in this scenario, I think that the Rockets give Chris Paul that 5-year max deal, and then they either sign Clint Capella, or if he signs an offer sheet somewhere else, they match it.
You figure it out later. It doesn't matter what other moves you make. You have no other chance unless Chris Paul
starts. So predictions, I say Capella and Chris Paul both back on the Rockets. Perry?
I would say they both stay on the Rockets.
Steve?
I think they both stay with Houston. I think it's a good decision.
Yeah.
Capella stays, Ariza leaves.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
you
want to
bring Ariza. So
it's
okay. No, but
Chris
Paul
stays.
And Capella both stay?
Yeah.
And you think Ariza leaves what, for the Warriors?
Yeah.
I just don't see that happening.
All right, so let's move on to DeMarcus Cousins, who is rehabbing right now from an Achilles injury, and we actually put up 2 posts for you guys asking if DeMarcus Cousins will get a max contract this offseason. It was extremely close. 53% of you guys said yes, that he will get a max contract. 47 said no, just a few votes off. So you guys were very split on that, and I'll catch you guys' response in a sec, but we need to ask the other poll, what team will DeMarcus Cousins be playing for next year? Pelicans 55%, Lakers 25%, Mavericks 10%, other 10%. I've been saying this all along. I think he goes back to the Pelicans, and I honestly am very torn with this max contract. I think they find a way to not give it to him, and they're going to give him probably a 1-year deal, something along those lines, as a prove-it deal. And I think he's that kind of player that he's posting videos of the resurgence, and he believes in his comeback, and he knows, I mean, obviously if he's offered a good deal for multiple years, he's going to take it because of the uncertainty with how he can play. But if he's 100% sure and believes he can qualify for a max contract, but maybe next year, I see him maybe giving him a 1-year contract, but I think he stays in New Orleans.
I think DeMarcus Cousins undoubtedly will get a max contract offer. From who is going to be the question?
Wow.
I like that take.
Undoubtedly. There will be a team. There are plenty of teams in the NBA that will try to make this happen for the sole reason of getting DeMarcus Cousins. And just betting on it, because in the current landscape with the Warriors, and you have these kind of Power 5 teams, there will be a team that will try to get him, and it'll be worth it to him. Will it make sense? Probably not. But will it happen? Yes.
Cool. I mean, that's the question. Christian, what do you think? Do you think he qualifies for, do you think they offer him a max contract?
I can honestly see the Pelicans getting desperate and offering him. I don't think they should, but I really think that there's a chance that they try to keep this AD boogie thing alive and bring him back. But I'm with Corbin on the whole Achilles injury that as an owner, as a GM or whatever, if I'm paying money him, I'd like to see him 1 year.
I like that 1-year contract. Like I just said, the prove it deal. If he truly believes his rehab is going to go the way he thinks, he'll be the same player, and he believes he can get a max contract, and he doesn't want to settle for a 3-year, you know, smaller contract of 10, 12 million a year. I think he takes a 1-year contract of actually a good amount of money because they're going to figure it out. And if they don't offer that, I can see a team like, for example, the Lakers with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope last year, or the Sixers with J.J. Redick, where they just had a shit ton of money and they weren't going to go for their guy this year, so they put a lot of money into a 1-year contract. Do the same thing with DeMarcus Cousins. Worst case scenario, you wasted the money they weren't going to use anyways on the 1 year that you're not going all in. I think a 1-year contract, even upwards of $20 million, 25, whatever you can get up, you offer him whatever it takes and just get him in for 1 year. But offering him a max year deal, to me, it's just – too much right now until I see him play basketball.
A team will get desperate and offer
But I do believe he's going to make the comeback. I said it before. I think of all players, I didn't say he's going to be the same player, but I do believe he's going to make a comeback and still be a positive part of this NBA.
I think he'll be a good player, but nothing really near worthy of a max contract. I don't think he's going to get a max contract. I think that some teams get desperate, but DeMarcus Cousins, there was talk before his injury if he was even worth a max contract. I thought he was, but after that ruptured Achilles, on top of just how each team that he's been on, he hasn't made them a great team. Even the Pelicans were good with him, but as soon as he got injured, they started playing even better. And I think the Pelicans, I'm not even too sure if they even really want him moving forward because they saw what they could do without him. I could see the Pelicans.
But imagine what you could have done with him. That's
well, but they did see what they were doing with him, and they weren't playing that well. They were playing better.
That's wrong. They were just starting to turn this around. They moved up from, I think it was an 8 seed to like a 6 or a 5, and he was part of that beginning turnaround, and Alvin Gentry was getting a lot of credit, and it went down.
There's also quotes that Alvin Gentry has had. I don't remember the exact quotes, but when I heard him say that, I just thought, okay, well, I don't even think the Pelicans really want him right now. I could see the Pelicans giving him a 1-year max deal, which is not the full max that we were asking about. But I honestly, think that Cousins is going to be looking for a multi-year deal. He'd even take a little bit less per year just because he knows that he's mortal now. He's seen his mortality and how at any second, an injury can take this away from him.
Just like I said, it really just matters where his head's at with his rehab and how confident he is.
Now that we think that, I could really see him taking the most desperate loaded offer.
Yeah, I think...
You think he'd take more of like a 3-year, like lower money pick? Because I think he'd rather go for that 1-year max because he's that kind of player.
He's a competitor, but all he's also posting just his videos blew out his Achilles. That hurts. That's why
our poll is pretty right there in the center.
I think it's smarter to tip for him, money-wise, to take that long-term deal. Or then... Okay, he takes a long-term
deal, a couple years left
in the NBA. Then go play for a Warriors and get your championship when you're at the very, very tail end. But
yeah, nothing makes you come back to reality more.
There's no competitor that will be able to offer.
But yeah, I think so. My prediction on DeMarcus Cousins, I think that the Mavericks, who have been rumored to be interested in him, I think that they give him, I'd say, a 3-year deal at maybe $10 million less than the max. So still a good deal. And I think he takes that. The Pelicans let him walk, and they're not too sad about it.
3-year, $45 million.
Well, no, it would be like probably a 3-year, $65-70 million contract.
Whatever route he goes, he's definitely – I'm rooting for him because the videos he's putting out, it looks like his rehab's going really well. Yesterday, he put up a video of him on the treadmill actually like running. I know he had to hold himself up a bit, but the trainer's right there. It looks like he's making really good progress and obviously well documenting it for his free agency. We'll move on from him.
So, well, what are your predictions? So, I said Mavericks, Perry.
Pelicans, 1 year. I already said that, but yeah, it's – what do you – the anyone
magic.
Else on anything?
The magic?
Just a team that gets desperate has cap.
All right, let's move on to DeAndre Jordan, who there was rumors abound this entire season about him getting traded before the trade deadline. It didn't happen. He has a player option, and there are some people that think he actually might opt in just because the lack of teams with salary cap space right now.
He's going to opt in.
You think he's going to opt in?
All of the reports I've been telling you lately, this is how the league is now. There is no testing free agency. If you have the ability to opt into a 1-year contract and get traded and somehow make it a more feasible situation for both sides, and you're able to get what you want and opt into that 1-year contract while still opening up that flexibility to you next year, if this whole fiasco you just decided to put yourself through doesn't work out, you can just reopen up your availability. It's a win-win for the player, for the teams, for everyone. It's just how the NBA is moving towards. Every single person that I trust source-wise is saying, watch out for almost every player that has this option to go in unless it logistically screams off the paper, off the page for them to
unless
opt
they guarantee
out.
Them
unless
contract.
It's unless it's to a point where opting in is you look at him and really just double check him as a person because it's just that obvious of a choice. It's you're going to be seeing a ton of players opting in. DeAndre Jordan's going to opt in. He's not going to be a Clippers next year though.
Oh, you think he opts in and then they trade him somewhere?
Yeah.
Do you have a prediction on where you think he's going to be traded?
The Mavericks or Rockets always are the two teams that I pair DeAndre Jordan with in my head because.
But if the Rockets have Clint Capella, you think DeAndre Jordan?
No, and
still
it,
makes
it would
sense.
Have to be Clint Capella walking away. It would have to be. Another,
the
it would have to be the Nets offering Clint Capella a retarded amount of money and them not being willing to match it and being willing to move some pieces around, bringing DeAndre Jordan outweigh the fact that just having him there instead of Capella. And having that star power will be just enough to...
Would you rather want Jordan or Capella?
I'd rather want DeAndre Jordan.
Really?
Capella's more... if you're looking at winning now, we're not talking about building a team for the future.
I still think...
If I'm any team besides the Rockets, the Warriors, any of those teams right now that are competing right now, the Cavs even technically, while they still technically have LeBron James, unless I'm that kind of player, Clint Capella's the kind of guy I want on my team if I'm the Lakers. If I'm a team that's like with the core that we're trying to... progress and everything like that. And this is before the Lakers are obviously getting all these guys, apparently. But it's DeAndre Jordan's the kind of guy that you can add to a team right now, and he can just add that little extra bit of explosiveness on the defensive boards, on the offensive boards, blocks, the lobs, how he's able to be such a force down low and have everybody else spread the floor because that's the modern NBA. He's just that one centerpiece down low. I think he can turn a team like the Rockets into a team that can beat the Warriors.
I actually think Capella is better than DeAndre, even at this stage. And the primary reason why I'm saying that is actually not a lot of those things that you said. I think both are going to give you the boards. Both are going to give you the defense. But I think Capella, in Houston's offense,
is a much better passer
than DeAndre Jordan. And I think in that case, and he just finds his way to the bucket, not saying that DeAndre doesn't, but in a way that's more fluid.
But I'm talking defense, though, mainly. It's just their offense.
I'm saying DeAndre Jordan
on defense, though, because that's a team that doesn't bang down low. Clint Capella is a different kind of player. I'm not saying that
but
he's a
really
weaker player.
Capella's
I'm just saying.
Their competition is the Warriors. The Warriors don't bang inside.
Then they can actually start. I really think DeAndre Jordan would be a really good fit for this team. And being able to spread the floor back, just lobbing the ball up, if Clint Capella doesn't have that explosiveness.
Capella's got some pretty good explosiveness.
I'm saying if you're comparing the two, I take DeAndre Jordan.
As far as lobs, and then I think also Capella's ability to finish around the rim, I've seen him, he's finishing with his left hand on layups and finger rolls. That's something that DeAndre Jordan doesn't do. It's either a dunk or DeAndre Jordan doesn't take layups. And yes, maybe he's a little bit more explosive than Capella, but Capella's ability to finish around the rim in a way that DeAndre Jordan just simply can't, I think that's another thing that is very intriguing for the Rockets, just because he gets so many passes where he's right around the rim, but he needs to be able to make layups. DeAndre Jordan would not be doing that. I think Capella makes more sense. I think he's a better basketball player right now than DeAndre Jordan is. It's close, but I'd give the edge to Capella. So, yeah, I think that DeAndre Jordan opts out of his contract and then ends up re-signing with the Clippers when it's all said and done. I think the Clippers had
you think the Clippers waste money on signing DeAndre Jordan to a multi-year contract?
I think they do.
Okay. I think you're wrong.
Bad decision if that.
I think
happens.
It is, but
I think that they don't even want to keep their money tied up in Chris Paul or Griffin, who they gave this giant contract. They didn't want to keep. They realized they made a mistake, let alone investing more money into an even worse investment that they know is a bad investment. They've kept on to him. He's a great third, fourth, maybe fifth option on a team. But having the team that they have right now and having DeAndre Jordan still be there and being like, all right, he's the only one left. Let's give him all our money. That would be the most retarded thing they can.
I think they are unrealistic right now and think that the team that they had last year, even after the Blake Griffin trade, is capable of making the playoffs, especially with the 12th and 13th overall pick. And I think that they're going to try to run it back with DeAndre Jordan.
Maybe if he opts in to his last year and they don't trade him, that could be the only run it back thing. But giving him a new contract isn't going to happen in any scenario.
I still think that it can and will happen. So your prediction is that he opts in and stays with the Clippers, right?
No, he opts in and gets traded.
Oh, he gets traded too.
I don't think he stays with the Clippers at all.
Did you say he goes to the Rockets or you don't know what team?
I don't know what team, but it's just going to follow suit in what everyone's saying right now with that he's going to be that typical player that opts in, figures out a way for a team to acquire him without having to, sign him to a multi-year contract and then see how that works out.
He does kind of like a Chris Paul
type thing. Does the exact Chris Paul thing. And everyone's going to do a Chris Paul thing. I'm telling you this right now, and then we'll talk about it like two or three podcasts from now when it's happened like four times. And I'm like, there it is. I didn't say it myself. I heard it from other people, but it makes a ton of sense with how the money is set up right now.
Steve, so what's your prediction on DeAndre Jordan?
I think he's going to – if he's smart, he opts in and takes the money and stays. If he – you know, I think either way, I'm with Perry. I don't actually think he's going to end up in L.A. regardless.
We got one more player we're going to bring up, and it's mainly because he ties in with the whole Lakers fiasco right now. Julius Randle, and we put up a poll asking you guys who you thought he'd play for next year. Lakers at 50%, Mavericks at 28%. Hawks at 2% and other at 20%. So others got, there's really no rumors specifically flying around for Julius Randle. So that's really opinionated. Can't really tell you who other would
be. There's been reports that the Mavericks are.
No, Mavericks are a team on here. So I don't know who other would be, but you guys think 20% that he won't end up on the Lakers or the Mavericks, that he chases the money elsewhere. I think Lakers, you know, are a clear pick, but this was actually before the Kawhi news and everything like that. I think if they're going to get all of their – I honestly don't have an answer for you on this one. I think it's Lakers or Mavericks, like what you guys – I think if the Lakers choose that he's not worth it and that they'd rather get with the two stars, they let him walk to the Mavericks.
Well, you said the Lakers would get all three of Kawhi, Paul George.
Yeah, if they do that, so then he'd have to leave and they'd be fine letting him walk to the Mavericks, which is where he'd go. And if not, if they can't land LeBron or if they can't land Paul George and it's only one of them along with Kawhi or whatever that may be, I think he stays and they invest their money in Julius Randle instead of taking a chance on another person.
Yeah, this is part of why I had said that DeMarcus Cousins would end up with the Dallas Mavericks, because I think I had said that Kawhi Leonard's going to end up being traded to the Celtics, so then the Lakers would be trading Luol Deng's contract and attaching some sort of assets to that, to where they can get rid of his contract, and then after that, they would be able to sign Paul George, sign LeBron James, and still, as long as everything works out timing-wise the right way, they would be able to either sign Julius Randle as well, or just match an offer sheet that he got from a different team. So I think that that's ultimately what will happen. If they were able to get Kawhi Leonard, then I think that Julius Randle ends up on the Mavericks, but in my scenario, they don't get Kawhi. Julius Randle ends up back with the Lakers, DeMarcus Cousins ends up with the Mavericks.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in line with that.
Yeah, no, just the fact that we're talking about free agency already is getting me excited. Last offseason was one for the books, and we see this one's already going to be one for the books. And with the draft coming up in about 5 days now, keep an eye out, and obviously make sure to check us out on Twitter and keep our notifications on, especially if you're looking for draft coverage. We're going to be all over it. Any last words for you guys?
Yeah, just thank you guys all for being on this podcast. This is the first time with us having four people on one podcast, but worked out well. We all got our opinions in, and it's a really fun podcast. So thank you guys all for listening to NBA Unwrapped, where we unwrap the hottest takes from around the NBA. And anything
from thank you to our sponsors, our sponsor Professor's Picks. Go onto their website, use offer code WIN2018, all capital WIN2018. 15% off any of their membership packages, so go check that out.
Yeah, really check them out. If you're into sports betting like I am, I like to gamble on ponies personally. This is a great way to make a little bit more money with your money. So yeah, really give them a look.
Especially with World Cup right now. Check it out.